Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, indeed. It is indeed In the Loop here on Sports Radio 610. I said indeed too many times. I apologize for that. Tickets we will be giving away in this hour. That's right.
Indeed.
That is Texans Cards. Not this weekend, but the weekend after, because it's a Texans Ticket Tuesday. So, keep it locked. We will do that in this hour. And then also in the 1 o'clock hour, we'll be giving away a pair of tickets to see Cougar basketball versus Florida State. But let's do this, talking about your Houston Texans who are in the hunt, baby, in the hunt. Actually, can I mention this? Did you, in watching Monday Night Football last night, did you see after the game when they put up the graphic of standings? I think it was the NFC. No, it was the AFC. I did not.
I don't remember seeing that. I've seen, obviously, you see them all over now. But
instead of in the hunt, the graphic that they used there said sniffing around.
Have entered the chat.
They used sniffing around.
I still say mine is the best one.
Why am I not surprised that you feel that way?
Yeah, of course.
I was like, that's generally how you feel about a lot
Texans
of things, John
have
Lopez.
Entered the chat.
But they used the phrase sniffing around, and I just definitely don't like that.
It's kind of weird.
It feels nasty.
You're sniffing around.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Like, it's just, like I saw on ESPN earlier, they used like shuffling around or something like that. And I was like, okay, that one. But sniffing around is nasty business.
Snooping around.
Yeah.
Even snooping around feels better.
Tickling
sniffing around.
Tonsils.
Sniffing around sounds like, I'm going to be honest, it sounds like you're a deviant.
Yeah. It does. It does.
I just
very pervert-ish.
Yeah. Not a pervert, Nick Cayley. All right, that is the trans. that is the way that I will get into the conversation.
Sure about that.
Actually, you know what?
What's your source for that?
Solid reporting.
I believe that he's not a pervert is the way that I will say that, because you know what? Sometimes you think a guy's a good guy, and all of a sudden you find out that he's been doing weird things to massage
people
therapists.
People said the same thing. Yeah, some people said the same thing about Bill Cosby.
Also a fair point. I don't know how the segment started this way.
We went from that to Bill Cosby.
I don't know how we got here. Apologies if this is what you're hearing on your lunch break.
Man.
Yeah, I guess so.
Release the Cayley files.
There aren't Cayley files that I know of. I don't want to purport that to be the case, because I definitely don't want any lawsuits coming this way.
No, I don't
way.
Either.
And if
I
you
take
do send
back
a,
what I said.
Yeah, if there's a lawsuit, that was John P. Lopez.
No,
that was not
that.
Myself.
It was
all right.
AI.
Are you as happy, seemingly, as D'Amico Ryans is with the Nick Cayley and the job that he's doing? Because D'Amico was on the coach's show, Texas All Access. It was last night with Mark Vandermeer, John Harris. They do a fantastic job. And there were some things that he said that seems to intimate that he feels very good about the way this thing is going right now.
Let's hear it, because I heard one, and then I heard another, and then I heard another, and you're going to hear him right here. And I was like, damn, he loves him some Nick Cayley.
And let's start. Exhibit A, Your Honor. D'Amico Ryans, cut three, if you don't mind. Talk about the Texans running game versus the Colts.
It's funny, you know, some of those runs where they got guys running through, like they got linebackers running through, you got possible TFLs. It's easy to say, oh, we got to scrap the run, right, and start just throwing it more. But I like how Kaylee continued to stay with the run. We changed up some of the runs we had, some schematically, like we started to go outside zone a little bit more, started to go more toss plays, trying to get on the perimeter. So even though it doesn't look great on a couple plays, like you still have to stay with it and keep the variety there to keep the defense on their heels. And that's what we did. And we were able to churn out some really good yardage by getting the ball on the perimeter a little bit more. Woody did a great job on a perimeter run of cutting back. So we got Nico a run for his first touchdown, first rushing touchdown. So it was just really cool things of how we mixed it up in the run game, getting Chubb in a wildcat formation, allowing him to run. So I just like the variety of things that we're doing.
And that speaks directly to how we started the show. You were talking about the run game and such. And he basically said the same thing, you know, without using the stats and the data, saying like it doesn't always look good. But I think he loves that Nick Kaylee is staying committed to what D'Amico has wanted from day one.
And did you hear the way that he put that? Is that I love that Kaylee stayed with it.
Yeah.
Which I think intimates that it is not D'Amico impressing upon Kaylee that this is how it needs to happen.
But Kaylee is doing what D'Amico's charge is.
Agree. I think that's the case. But that would seem to intimate a level of freedom and agency in the run-pass split. That does say that, hey, Kaylee made this decision.
Yeah.
Now, of course, is it possible that just D'Amico is using the turn of phrase that would not necessarily point to that he is like, hey, we need to run this possible. But I think that D'Amico generally says what he means and means what he says.
Yeah.
And I find that interesting because that means that Kaylee has a little bit more agency and we can judge what he is doing on his on his standards, like that this is decisions that he is making within the context. Yeah. So I also want to listen to Cut 7 here, if you don't mind. These are D'Amico Ryan's thoughts on the Texans being one of the highest time of possession teams in the league.
You know, it's where we control the game, and we control it just not by being in a rush. As I tell our guys, I want to methodically just drive down the field. Take our time, methodically drive down the field, just get positive plays, whatever that looks like. We don't have to always go for the chunk play, explosive play, just throwing it up, a 50-50 ball. No, let's methodically get guys open. Let's make great decisions with the football. Let's mix in our run, our play action pass, and let's just drive down. And once we get across midfield, now we're in striking distance. Now let's go score. And I feel like we can also finish some of these drives better by finishing in the end zone. Yeah. Like doing a great job of driving, controlling the game, but now it's even better when you can control the game and finish the drive with 7 points.
I mean, to a T, that is what the offense has looked like, especially these last two games. And I think it's going to lead to the whole progress report, discussion that we're having here, because I think the progress report is he understands the assignment and is committed to it at Nick Kaylee, you know, big time.
Yeah, and going back, talking about like the variety, I think that has absolutely happened. I come back to what we said earlier where I go, hey, I would have loved if you had made some of these adjustments earlier, but there's, you know, the second best time is now, right? The best time would have been then. Second best time is now, and I'm happy that those things are happening of getting the ball out to the outside and having these guys. Like, there was a number of pin and pull plays where you got big boys on the outside lead blocking for dudes running the football, whether it was Nico Collins or Woody Marks on a toss or what have you, which I appreciated. He also mentioned play action in there, D'Amico Ryan's, like using the play action pass, which interestingly enough, they used kind of middle of the league this week, but it has felt like it's been effective in towing, you know, pulling and pushing, pulling those linebackers. And they've been moderately effective in getting like value out of it, but just the idea that they're using a lot of motion, a lot of play action. Remember early on in the season, the reason why I know this is in my notes, I don't delete them. So I go back and I see some of the things that maybe I had written down earlier in the season. And I was asking for easy buttons in this offense. They're doing a lot more of those motions, those, you know, play actions, those things that are usually easy buttons for a quarterback. So I will give him some credit for that. But then all of that, you could see it coming together in drives that are longer, right? Now, there was a point in time, first quarter, late first quarter, end of the second quarter, where the drives got a little wonky. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had a one-play drive because you turn over the football and then you turn it right back to the Colts. But you have drives of 8 plays, 7 plays, 14 plays.
That's what he's talking
12
about,
plays,
right there.
7 plays. Like, and that's not a one-off. That's not just – you're seeing them move the ball downfield more often, which I think it fits in with the thought process that we talked about earlier, that this might be an offense that is reminiscent of the SEC a decade or so back. And it feels like they're very happy with that. I want to finish it off here, at least when it comes to the D'Amico portion of this. This is cut 12. This is him asked when he was asked about the growth of this Texans team as the season has progressed.
Got to keep going up, and okay. That's one thing you want to see in a season, right? It's not about how you start, but it's about who are you becoming as a team, how are you growing, how are you getting better. And I really love the growth of our team. O-line is settling in, doing some really good things. CJ, the quarterback, Davis played well. CJ's playing good, his first game back. So our receivers, they're playing different guys, making Hutch, making plays, Higgins, Neek. It's like a lot of different guys making plays. And I see the growth of our team. I see where we are. And now here down the stretch, it's just about remaining locked in just one at a time. Controlling what we control one at a time, finishing with the win, whatever it takes, however it looks, it doesn't matter. Just finish with the win.
So this is where we have to talk about the progress report. What is the progress report on Nick Caley? And you just heard it, from D'Amico Ryans, I think it's a, what do you get on a progress report? Do you get letter grade? Let's say letter grade. I think it's an A++.
Well, from D'Amico's
standpoint. From D'Amico, it's an A++. He understands the assignment, Nick Caley. They're doing it no matter what. And you talk about, the play action, and you've heard this, a million times. You don't have to be a great running team to be successful on play action. But the other part of that is if the defense knows you're willing to run the ball for 1 and 2 yards, the play action becomes better because they don't know if it looks more convincing that you are going to run the ball even if you're against a stacked box or whatever. The other part for me is my progress report on Nick Caley is a strong B because two reasons. Number one, he's doing exactly what D'Amico has charged him to do, and they're doing it better. They're not blowing anybody's skirt up or anything, but they are doing it better.
We've had a lot of weird weird sayings today on this program. I've got to admit
that one probably did. Maybe I was influenced, but either way. They're not blowing.
We're blaming Andy Reid for that one. Andy Reid, we're blaming, you remember Geno Smith when he got on the podium? He's like, just blame everything on me.
Yeah.
We are deciding that everything bad that happens on today's show, and honestly, in today, just generally, go ahead and blame it on Andy Reid. It's his fault for tickling Thomas.
I will. They're not blowing anybody away with their offense, but they're doing exactly what they need to do. And then the second part I think is very important when it comes to the progress report. In big-time games, in playoff games, more teams are successful with offenses like this, considering the defense, than offenses like the Colts. The games get compressed. They get to tend to be, a lot more intense, maybe lower scoring, certainly every play magnified, where you just don't want to make the big mistake. That's what Nick Caley is doing to a T. I'm not going to sit here and say, what a great offensive coordinator. What I am saying is, He's doing the job exactly how D'Amico wanted, and it's successful.
Yeah, this is. I think that one thing you could say is that there's definitely progress.
Mm-hmm.
Now you started in a place that felt damn near untenable, but there's definitely progress. And I think D'Amico actually started laying out for me the rubric to continue this kind of metaphor that we've got here. O-line settling in absolutely is a thing. Now it took them a while to get there, but they found an O-line that feels like one they could protect the quarterback,
mm-hmm.
right? If you go back and watch a number of plays in that game, and I know that there's a lot of people on Twitter and such that are kind of putting some clips and cut-ups, you'll see they're picking up stunts much better. Mm-hmm. They're not getting got by games at times. The pockets are holding up significantly better, which is a place that it matters considering the way that they handled their offensive line this offseason. The fact that they've gotten there is a credit. One, I think also you got to talk about your offensive line coach, mm-hmm. right? 100%. You got to give him some credit, but I think Caley matters there. The quarterback's playing pretty good here. I think it's something that he said. I wonder how, they are playing pretty well within the context of what they're being asked to do.
Mm-hmm.
I still wonder if there's more to be extracted from that, but I think that they wouldn't deny that. And then you do have wide receivers making plays. Because that was the thing that we were worried about or we asked questions about. You brought in, this offseason, the idea was get some weapons. I remember our guy, Larry Stafford, and he's not the only one, that when Matthew Golden goes off the board, mm-hmm. are peeved because you need weapons to go alongside Nico Collins. It felt like there was nobody there.
Right.
You come off of a Week 13 matchup where, you had Nico getting his, but Jaden Higgins also got his. Dalton Schultz got his. And then you have some other people also adding in. Xavier Hutchinson adds in. I think that you're having some more people make plays. Is it the amount of people that I'd probably want, or is it it's the specific people?
Yeah.
I think there's still room there. And with all that being the case, I feel like it's a B minus, right? Like, I feel like that is the way that I look at that.
I said a strong B. And here's the most important thing to me. We still haven't completely reset our perceptions, you know, of what we thought this offense would be. If you do reset your perception, remember before last season, the whole five-headed monster thing? And C.J. Stroud on the podcast circuit talking about, you know, I'm a dog, and we all had these thoughts of where they're going to sling it everywhere, and they have all these weapons and all this. It's not what they are. You have to reset your perceptions. That is not what this team is offensively. Maybe it's what we wish. Maybe it's what we thought it would be. Maybe it's even what C.J. Stroud wants it to be in his heart of hearts. It's not what they are. And if you recognize what they are, run team, controlled, Patriot-style offense, the progress report is positive.
And on top of that, I talked about it yesterday, the kind of the line of demarcation of 10-plus air yards and then less than 10 air yards, and the way that C.J. was entirely different. Well, he still got some yards here. Like, don't get me wrong, like on both sides of that. But the comfort, the efficiency of throwing short, of him coming back at this time, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is something that you can work off of. And if you notice these trends and lean into what you do well, I think that leans into the room for improvement. But I think the one thing that I will quibble with D'Amico Ryans on, the idea that, you know, just find ways to win offensively. I hear you. I still, as much as I talk about the fact that all the offenses in the league are on the NFC side and the AFC offenses are also going to have to contend with the Texans defense, I still am in this place where I'm like, I would also like this offense to be a little more consistent. And the idea that we're just going to find a way to get over the line every week is not enough to satisfy me, especially because they found their way all the way back after atrocious 0-3 start, after showing your ass in Seattle, after, you know, a number of different setbacks during the season.
Yeah.
You are now back in the place where I think the expectations are back where they were at the start of the season.
Oh, trust me. I wish, and I think a lot of Texans fans wish, this offense was what we thought it was going to be, you know, going into last season. I wish it was. It's not. And that's my point. They are a Patriot-style, controlled, short passes, take maybe one or two shots a game offense. And it makes for the close games. The saving grace is they have a defense that can win those close games.
Yeah, I think that they just, if they can show me that they can wring more out of that, right, and be even more efficient with it, I'll feel better. And that's, I mean, you got to give some credit to, obviously, Nick Caley for finding some level of comfort, some level of efficiency in that. And I don't know if I'm grading on a curve. It's quite possible.
Yeah.
But I think I'm willing to give him a B minus here on this progress report.
I'm with you.
It'll be a fun test, though, when we get to Sunday versus Kansas City, because time and place, like, that's, you're going to hear me say those words a lot this week. Time and place are what matters to me here. Obviously, there's the boogeyman of the Kansas City Chiefs and what they've done to you historically, but 720 outside of Kansas City in December, I think that is going to shed some light on a lot of operational things with this team and how they have the possibility of faring in the postseason. But We're gearing our way there. We are gearing our way there here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. You won't gear your way to that game, but you have a possibility to gear your way to the Arizona Cardinals game when they come to town here in a couple of weeks. And how will you do that, friend? By calling in right now and being caller number 10 to 713-572-4610. It's Texans Ticket Tuesday, and we're giving away, is it a pair in the bullpen?
Yep.
A pair of tickets right there, down there, close to the field, at NRG Stadium in the bullpen for Texans Cardinals. Beat caller number 10 right now, 713-572-4610, and you'll enjoy that fantastic view of the field. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, you know what time it is. Let's do some Lunchtime Confessions presented by the Men's Clinic.
All right.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so you've heard this. Again, I'm sure you've heard this when someone says, well, that's all I need to know about that person, right?
Yeah.
When something happens.
Sure.
That's all I need to know about this person. So Lane Kiffin.
Okay. I don't know why I didn't see that coming.
All you need to know about Lane Kiffin and exactly what kind of person he is, you got with one bit of news that broke yesterday afternoon is when it really seemed to be validated. You know Juice Kiffin?
I don't.
His Labrador Retriever that he was taking out on the field, taking pictures with. Him. No, he's got his own Twitter account.
Thankfully, I managed to miss all of that.
Thousands
somehow.
And thousands of followers.
He ain't better than Kurt Herstreit's dog.
Well,
that's all I see on the damn timeline.
Well, he was huge.
Don't get me started.
They trained him even to go out and get the kicking tee, you know, that whole thing. Juice Kiffin, the Labrador.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently it was all a lie.
What do you mean?
Wasn't his dog. He claimed it to be his dog. He you know, obviously took pictures, used it. It was a PR stunt. The dog didn't even live with him.
Oh, man.
This guy named Charles Parnum works at a kennel in Oxford, Mississippi. Quote, it's true that Juice was still in Oxford as of late yesterday, and he spends the overwhelming majority of his time under the care of his owner at Wild Rose, which is what it's called, for a couple of years now. And then the Twitter account of Juice himself, he was a PR stunt.
Dang.
He didn't even... Rebel, he changed his handle, but his name is Rebel Juice now, and he posted a video walking across the field, wagging his tail, and the caption says, day one, looking for dad. He left the dog there, which, of course, it wasn't his
dog, yeah.
But he
what if the dog is, like, a part of the office of head coach of the football team? Like the governor.
Well, you heard that
his handler,
he lives and handles him at this Wild Rose.
Maybe
place.
Juice is just the coach's dog, and whoever's the coach gets the dog.
Dude, use the dog as like a PR.
I love college football. I want you to understand this. This is something that only comes up in college football.
Yes, yes. But that's all I need to know about Lane Kiffin.
That's a hell of a way to have a dog, ain't it?
He didn't have a dog. He said he had a dog. He used him.
He said it was his
snuggling
dog.
And before games, you know, all these, you know, sideline fans and all this coming up and petting him, and Lane Kiffin was standing there and all. Wasn't his dog.
And you know what?
It was a PR stunt.
Let me take a picture by this dog real quick and just say it's mine. That's like standing in front of a Lamborghini.
Yeah. And everybody, like, people do it. People just lean on somebody else's car.
Wasn't
putting
his dog.
Your butt cheeks on it. I'm with you. Like, this is one of those things where, wow, this makes you look bad. But you know what the lesson is? Stop being fooled by people putting their dogs in front of you.
Yes.
That's why I said hold that thought with Kirk Herbstreit. Could it be? No, I'm just kidding. Kind of.
I mean, it don't matter if it's his dog or not.
The way that brother was crying on the stage,
well,
after
true.
The loss of, yeah, his other dog, it better be his dog.
That's true. No, he travels with him and all that. Lane Kiffin, He tore out of Oxford and didn't even think about that dog.
He said, peace. So they got dogs in Baton Rouge.
What's that dog name again?
Juice. It's a shame what they did to that dog.
Literally. Man. Okay. Yeah. All right. It's at least, a shame what at least thankfully, this is not like a Marley and Me situation. The dog is the dog is good, everybody.
Yeah.
No dogs were harmed in the making of this confession. So yesterday, I had a little bit of a, I had a long day just generally, not that anybody cares, but the end of the day was hanging out with our very own B. Scott. We went and got a couple of drinks and, you know, in general, good conversation mm-hmm. With friends as one will have. I have to make this confession. And I say this with no happiness. I want you to know that. Like, mm-hmm. there's no glee. I gain no enjoyment from announcing this. But my confession is, I think B. Scott has got me to recognize in full that I am indeed a Reed hater.
Oh, well, what?
Reed Shepherd hater.
Oh, yeah, I could have told you that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And I, look.
I think you said Tommy told you a little wrong.
All right. I like Tommy and I like Reed. I do as well. Yeah. But I recognize that I've held his yeah. lack of defense. Mm-hmm.
Reggie don't believe in y'all.
Mm-hmm. I believe in him to a great degree. I believe in him to a great degree.
He wouldn't even
degree.
Give you a half a sack,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Oh, Tommy Togi. Man, what? I just made, actually, remember when I made note of the fact that I'm not the one who gives out the sacks. I was the one who just made note of on the thing it said half a sack as opposed to a full one like you had said.
Remember when I said Reed Shepherd should maybe be the starter? Reggie's like, hell no.
That was the conversation. But it's because I think I am very old school in that if you can't guard your man, it's hard for me to respect you.
Mm-hmm.
And I will not back down from that. If you can't get out here and put up a valiant effort of guarding your man, and I'm not talking about gambling to get steals. That hurts me.
Yeah.
And it has blinded me to some degree to some of the things that, I mean, and not blinded me, because I know that Reed does fantastic things, obviously gets his own shot in some of these things, good passer. But it is made it harder for me to appreciate those things because I have a hard time respecting you if you can't guard your man. And I feel like it is fair to then categorize me as Reed hater, even though I very much want him to succeed and I like him as a player.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Welcome to the dark side.
Oh, look at the 3-4-6. I'm not a racist because at the same time, I will defend Riley Moss's honor to the death. I like white people. I feel like I can say that.
You got white friends.
I got plenty of white friends, man. You can ask anybody. But the fact of the matter is, when it comes to not playing defense, that is something I can't abide by. And that's harmed me.
I like Christian McCaffrey.
I love Christian McCaffrey. I've drafted him numerous times in fantasy football. I don't know what you're talking about.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I got to confess to y'all, man, I did it. I talked about this random white dog. I even posted it on my social medias,
mm-hmm.
at The Figgy Fig, about this white dog that's just been hanging around my house.
Why you gotta be a white dog, Fig?
Hey, a big ass white dog too, at that people are kind of terrified of.
But we should note, not mean in any way.
It's not
mean. Look like a big old sweetheart, actually.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, this stray dog, this big old stray dog, I don't even know what kind of dog it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been hanging around my house for a long time. And I think I brought it up in confessions where I was a little bit irritated because just be hanging around.
Mm-hmm.
And I think y'all kind of gave me a hard time. Like, oh, don't call a dog catcher, man.
I said mm-hmm. call the dog catcher.
Yeah. Yeah. So at that point, I didn't want to do it because it was a sweet dog. It wasn't really bothering anybody up until I think it was Saturday. I was watching the Ohio State Michigan game.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a ring notification, like, oh, is somebody at the door? I click the button. Look, I'm like, oh, it's that damn white dog just hanging around my carport. And all of a sudden, he went right to my mailbox, lift his leg up, peed all over the mailbox.
Peed on your mailbox.
On the mailbox.
Was that the final straw?
Yeah. I'm like, man. Buddy,
how you going to pee on my mail?
Yeah. So at that point, I'm like, all right, I got to call somebody.
But the good news is you made it clear there wasn't an aggressive dog when you called.
Yeah. And this is kind of part two to the confession.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I probably should have made it more urgent.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mentioned, like, hey, it seemed like a sweet dog, but it just keep hanging around, and I explained everything.
Yeah.
On my way home yesterday, I was talking to my sister. I was telling her about how I had to call 311 and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Pulled up, dog was right there.
That's right.
They'll get it, though. And I think you did the right thing.
It was there this morning, too.
Because it was?
Yes.
Because it'll get adopted. You should have a clear conscience. It's not like it's an aggressive dog. They're going to take it and they're going to put it down or anything. No, it'll get adopted.
It is kind of causing a little havoc, though.
Because it's cute.
Yeah, it's funny because yesterday I was home and I was just so happened to be at the door. I seen a little girl getting off the bus,
mm-hmm.
and the dog was right there, right in the middle of the street, and she stopped. I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm like, she is terrified. Yeah. I remember them days seeing the stray dog, and you like, uh-oh. And the dog started walking towards her. She started walking back. So what I did was open my door.
Mm-hmm. So get the attention.
Distract them a little bit. And Jackson started barking and all that other stuff. And he looked towards our way.
Mm-hmm.
And then the little girl kind of ran around the dog.
Yeah, no, you did home. You did the right thing, and I think it'll end up all right.
Yeah,
but
I'm wondering if the people I call, if they even going to come out at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because I actually made two requests. So I made a request for the dog, and then around my street, this is how you know I'm getting kind of old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was like, hey, it's a missing stop sign at the end of the street.
So and another thing.
By the way, it's a missing stop sign.
Now that I actually got you on the phone, I got a list of things I need y'all to fix.
Let's talk about potholes now.
Yes, yes. You need to put a sidewalk and some yellow paint right there because people be tripping and falling over there.
You know what? A speed bump wouldn't be bad.
Yes.
Yeah, all these people tearing through my neighborhood making all this noise.
It's
with
a hippie field
hop.
Over there with all that grass. That grass need to be cut.
And all these long-haired youngsters.
Yeah. But I wonder if they even going to come out at this point because I never did anything like this. Called.
I think they will. Yeah. They're going to have like a scroll of things that you've called them for, so they're going to have to.
Yeah, I hope they come out. But yeah. I felt bad, but it need to be done, man. Mm-hmm. You can't be peeing on the mailbox, man.
Yeah.
That dog going to be around for at least another week or two.
I think
maybe.
So. Yeah,
but they'll get to it. They'll get to it.
I feel like he's...
It's a city, man.
Yeah.
You ever put out your green trash can?
Yeah. Clearly the government's going to get this done expeditiously.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. There you go. Those are your lunchtime confessions here in the loop.
It's a shame what he did to that dog.
Yeah. If this was a podcast, that would be the name of the episode.
Oh, man. All right. Having fun here on a Tuesday on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, I will try to keep my partner from talking too much Lane Kiffin because it's time for some college football on a Tuesday. What are we expecting from the final college football playoff rankings? Let's do that next. All right, we got work to do, ladies and gentlemen. It's college football on a Tuesday, and there's a lot happening once we get to this time of year, 100%. All right, let's start locally. Well, I guess relatively locally, the state.
of Texas, the great state of Texas, I should say. The University of Texas is doing their damnedest to try and get in. They did it on the football field, beating your Texas A&M Aggies in the second year of the return of the that game. Obviously, it was just enjoyable, period. The game, I imagine the outcome, maybe not so much for you, but Steve Sarkisian afterwards went into full campaigning mode. He knows what time it is, and it's continued. It hasn't stopped. This was him on SEC Network yesterday, continuing the campaigning as he's trying to get his Texas Longhorns in over the University of Miami.
We've played five top 10 ranked teams, and we've beaten three of them. There's teams that are ranked in front of us that haven't played any top 10 ranked teams. And so my point to everybody is this about what your record is at the end, or is this about beating quality teams and showing how good of a team you really are by beating quality teams on the field? Or is it don't play good teams, put up a bunch of yards, put up a bunch of points, and make it look good? You know, throw fade route touchdowns with 38 seconds to go.
Ouch.
When you're ahead 31-7, so the score looks better. So is the committee really watching the games, or are they just looking at a stat sheet at the end of the game to say, oh, well, they won by this many points, they must have played really good?
All right, so a few things here.
That's real offensive. That's a great way to get in the club, being like, y'all don't even know what y'all looking for. Now let me in.
That was a direct shot at Miami, by the way.
100%.
That's a team that's they're in competition with, and they scored they did a fade route at the very end to go 38-3 or 7 or whatever it was instead of 31 points. So that's number one. Here's the most important thing. If I were a Texas fan, I would want Sark to do exactly what he's doing. He's doing his job. He's campaigning. He's on a full-fledged press tour.
Correct.
Like he is. Anybody that'll listen, he's on it. And you know what? Good for him. You know, it's what he should be doing. It's his job. Here's the thing that I think is significant. Number one, and I'm the one, you didn't even agree with me last week when I said this. I've been saying this since before the A&M game. If they beat A&M, I think they have a very strong case. And I still do. You know, I hate that it happened, you know, but I still think Texas has a very strong case to be in the college football playoff. So I agree with Sark in that regard. But I don't think they're going to get there. I don't think that, by the way, the latest odds, latest rankings are coming out this evening. I don't think it's going to work. He's on a full-fledged press tour. And then there's this whole thing about why are we playing these tough non-conference games?
That's the conversation I want to have with you.
Maybe we shouldn't even have a non-conference playoff game. There's a little bit of kind of gray area, maybe a little insincerity there, because the SEC is going to 9 conference games next year. No one's going to be scheduling a lot of these big-time non-conference games because the big knock on the SEC has been you only play 8, so you got to schedule somebody else outside, or else you're going to have 4 cupcakes. Well, there's no more 4 cupcakes. It's going to be 3 cupcakes or whatever.
I think you can argue that still translates, but
as an SEC team?
No, I hear you.
Yeah, SEC team, you play 9, you don't need to play Ohio State.
No, I hear you, but I think also the additional portion of this is, well, with the 3 that you schedule, right? Mm-hmm. This ends up being a conversation. And my larger point in this is, y'all not tired of having the same conversation? Like, this is the ping pong that we've been doing for years, no matter the system. And I am just here to say I'm right. Like, I actually don't want to try and solve this because I know it to not be solvable. We've been doing college football for long enough. None of this was going to solve it. Expanding the playoff to this point is not going to solve it. Expanding the playoff further is not actually going to solve it. This was the reason why I was like, 4 is fine, but if you want to do 16, go ahead and do 16 or 12 or whatever, because you know what? We're going to have the same conversation. We're going to end up in these same places no matter what.
I'm glad you said that, because as someone who has covered national college football a long time and watched this game and loved this game for a long time, I was saying, you weren't around, but I was saying 25, 30 years ago, we need a playoff, we need a playoff, we need a playoff. And my biggest reason was because they used to talk about 4 teams.
Yeah.
My thing was, if you're complaining about being number 5 or being number 12 in this case, win another game, man. You know, I think the argument falls flat. And, you know, if you're saying, well, if you're saying we should be number 1 and you're undefeated but ranked number 3, that's a strong case. If you're saying we should be number 12 and you've lost 3 games, win another game. Win another game, whether it was Ohio State or someone else. Your argument falls flat with me, and that's why I think that the strength of the playoff is we're arguing about number 12. That's not – win another game and we don't have this argument.
How do you feel about the people that are saying, hey, if we didn't play Ohio State first, if it was Rice or whoever, then we will be in?
I think there's something to that, but let's keep this in mind too. You just heard him say it. Are they actually watching the games, or are they just counting how many wins? No, I think they actually watched the Kentucky game. I think they actually watched the Mississippi State game. I think they actually watched the Florida game. And that's, you know, this whole thing about Ohio State, it's like, hey, look over here. You know, we shouldn't have played Ohio State. Well, how about those three games that one went to overtime, you lost another one, and the other one you probably well should have lost. They are watching these games. And again, I say this as someone who has been advocating that Texas deserves a shot and has a strong case, but either win another game or look better in those games.
You know, and I think that you're right in that regard, and this is why I was in the place where I was when you were like, oh, the Texas, if they win this game, I'm like, no. I think in all reality, there are those things. This is one of those, not a great messenger, but the message has some validity. Mm-hmm. There has constantly been issues with the way that the College Football Playoff Committee goes about their business.
Yeah. Now that I totally
whether there's deep inconsistencies with what metrics and what things that they value, inconsistencies with when they value them. And then the thing that I always think is insane that we've kind of just leaned into, and it creates more of these arguments. Well, how is this team dropping and falling when there should not be a dropping and falling aspect? It should just be at the end looking at the resumes and stacking them at that point. But you cannot say that you're not having some level of influence on where, you know, on your now decision based off of what you decided a few weeks ago. Like, I think that those things all impact it. And so the fact of the matter is a remembrance, and this is kind of defeatist, and I recognize that, is, hey, man, I don't think you're ever going to actually get it all the way right. I don't know if that means that you should not try to get it more right, but I think the acknowledgement needs to be made that you're never going to get this all the way right.
Right, but you get my point. Like, he's arguing about being number 12.
Sure.
I'm fine with that argument, whether he wins it or loses it, because that's number 12. At least we have the solid top, you know, 10, 12 teams or, you know, whatever it is available to us now. Now, here's where I am going to advocate for Texas. And I've been, like I said, I've been saying it. I've been advocating they have a strong case. I will advocate for them to get into the postseason, even though it's not going to happen, as I mentioned. Ole Miss, with six assistant coaches, their entire offensive staff, and their head coach, no longer with that team, that's a hell of a lot stronger than the Heisman Trophy winner getting hurt, to me. You know, because they knocked down, not Heisman Trophy winner, but, you know, they...
Jordan Travis, when Florida State didn't get in. They
knocked down teams because a player that's significant is hurt. You're talking about six assistant coaches and the head coach? Eyeball test? Give me Texas over Ole Miss, but it's not going to happen because Ole Miss only has one loss.
Yeah, I feel you there. So we talked about that. I think, I don't want to talk about Lane Kiffin himself, but I want to expand this out to the conversation that's being had about the factors that create Lane Kiffin, in particular, the move from Ole Miss to LSU, which is the schedule. There's people clamor for the schedule. And I also don't want to add in, and I kind of am, by trying to move away from Lane Kiffin. The individual coaches, I think, often they are the last guys to get smoked. Players get smoked. Institution gets smoked. Coaches don't get smoke. And he deserves smoke here, and I know that you've been bringing a lot of that.
Sure.
But do you feel like there is a way to help make it so that you're not having Alex Golish leave his, or really the bigger thing is John Sumrall leave his team before they get the American championship that could determine if they go into the playoff? Obviously, Lane Kiffin leaving Ole Miss before they go into the playoff, you know, these teams. Do you feel like there's something? Because National Signing Day is coming up.
Yeah.
That's happening. And people are like, maybe you move that back. And the thing that I always bring up is, these are ostensibly schools, aren't they? Like, all these things about moving these things back so that coaches can wait until after these seasons are over. Aren't we supposed to be getting these kids in for the semester?
Yeah.
They're supposed to be going to school?
I think there's a really simple answer here, and I don't know if it'll ever happen. I'm not going to say it won't. I think it's a possibility. What if you're playing the College Football Playoff this weekend? Get rid of conference championship games. Forever.
Interesting.
Get rid of conference championship games forever. The Power Four conferences, they don't want. You think Alabama wants to play Georgia and vice versa and lose their seeding, you know, or at least fall down a little bit? Hell no. All it is a moneymaker for the conference. That's all it is. And then the other Power Five conference schools, they can damn well determine a champion. The Big 12 did it, you know, in the past. The other if you just move it, just get rid of the conference championship games and play the first round of the postseason this weekend. I think that would really deter a lot of teams, almost a gentleman's agreement of what the NFL does. Hey, we're not going to have any coaching movement till after the season. I think just that 1 week would make a lot of people, you know, maybe wait or, you know, until after the first round of the playoffs to make their moves.
I think there's some logic in what you say, but I'd be remiss if I don't stop down and decry what has happened to the sport because of this clamoring for playoff. Because
they're not that important anymore.
Well, no, I hear you. Yeah. But that's because of the ways that we moved. And some of this isn't playoff inherently. Some of this is actually the nationalization of the sport, where it used to be more of a regional sport and now it's a national sport. And if when I talk about bringing smoke, you know who I need to bring smoke to? ESPN.
Oh,
right?
For
like
sure.
This is TV and this is ESPN and the way that they've mangled the way that things college football goes. And now if they're putting a lot of money into this, so I don't want to completely like negate that portion of this.
Yeah.
But this used to be a sport where going to particular bowl games mattered, winning your conference in a particular way mattered, and now it's everybody's only real eye is on on the playoff, and it feels like we lose some of the value.
The conference games have lost luster.
Yes, they've lost some of their fun.
It was kind of funny seeing ESPN promoting the SEC championship game.
Well, how about Indiana and Ohio State?
Yeah,
just put them in the playoff. Just put them both up, you know, number one and number two. There you go. Let's play.
And I hate it because I feel like that was the value. All of us are deep college football fans. And the fun, I mean, I'm a Kansas State fan, man. For a lot of times, it's like having a good 8-9 win season, like that matters. And now it's a little bit less so, right? Like that doesn't have the same luster because everybody's eyes are drawn to what the playoff, and that's the only real, a measure of success.
I wonder when is it going to get to a point where teams like Ohio State and Indiana just going to say, screw the championship game. I mean, screw the conference championship game. Let's rest.
Well, they can't.
We're already in the playoffs.
Especially because the playoff, they say that they're not going to take it into account. But if you end up looking bad in the play, they're going to take it into account.
Yeah. Like Indiana or Ohio State are going to drop to like 4 or 5. Yeah.
Or even think about last year. Remember, Ohio State lost to Michigan. And remember, after that, they end up running the table.
Yeah. And so my point is, look, you just determine. Do you think it really matters to Ohio State right now? I should say it matters as much. Hey, we won the conference championship.
Nah, nobody gave a damn last year.
I don't think it matters to Georgia and Alabama. Now, it would matter to teams like A&M and Ole Miss had they gotten there, you know, because it's their first or whatever.
Or teams like Indiana.
But wouldn't matter. Like, if A&M won the conference championship, I'd be like, wow, that's awesome. Now, let's get to the playoffs. You know, I'd be like, let's get to the playoffs. It matters, but not nearly as much.
Oh, man, I had some notes that I wanted to throw in here college football-wise. Interestingly enough, Penn State's draft class or recruiting class?
126th.
That's bad if you don't know. where James Franklin is now, Virginia Tech just landed a 4-star quarterback.
Damn.
Like this, just like that. Speaking of conference championships, have you noticed that the ACC championship game is going to be 5-loss Duke versus Virginia because of some tiebreakers?
Yeah.
Unsurprisingly,
like, is that basketball?
Unsurprisingly, Miami feels like the ACC needs to change the tiebreaker rules. I actually think that they're right because you shouldn't have a 5-loss team in there.
I say again, you don't need them.
And I think I agree with you, but I kind of hate how we got here. And finally, Diego Pavia leads the Heisman odds race. All right, you're in the loop on Sports Radio 610.
Who was that?
That is Vanderbilt quarterback Diego Pavia. Apparently Vanderbilt flipped a 5-star quarterback from Georgia, so they are going to keep this thing going. This ain't just going to be a cute Diego Pavia story. Salute to Clark Lee and what he's done there. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, having a good time on a Tuesday. In fact, we'll be giving away a pair of tickets to watch the University of Houston Cougar basketball team play in this upcoming hour. But coming up next, what Texans player not named CJ Stroud holds the key to the stretch run. Let's discuss that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.